and welcome to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Avi, we have a big topic today. The Sixers Arena is back in the headlines.
Sure is.
Yeah, you're probably asking why. Well, after months of waiting, the four independent studies that look at the impact of the proposed Sixers Arena in Market East have been released. They dropped around 7:30 p.m. on a Monday night.
The most convenient
time to
drop your
reports.
First day
of school for a lot of folks. The reports are mixed. They show that the proposed arena will provide hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue to the city, to the state, and to the school district. But it also says that the project could put stress on Chinatown and displace residents. So today on the show, our big question is that trade-off worth it? Should there be a Sixers arena in Center City? Call us 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org.
I think people might have opinions on this, Cherry. Just a wild guess.
Look, I put it out there on Facebook, 90 comments, and just, I mean, like almost immediately. And people are talking back and forth to each other.
Talking is a polite way to put it, yes.
Yeah. So, and we have a list of people, though, coming in on the phone who will be speaking with us today to ensure that we get takes from multiple sides of this argument. We have Vivian Chang, Executive Director of Asian Americans United. We also have Daniel Pearson, editorial writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we'll also hear from Council Member Mark Squilla. And we also hope that we hear from you.
Absolutely. So give us a call, 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. But we're going to tell Daniel and Vivian to sit tight for a second and first bring on Aaron Moselle, who is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly and has followed this project since its inception. Aaron, welcome back to Studio 2.
Thanks for having me.
So, Aaron, remind folks about the scale and the location of this project and also why we waited so long for these reports, because the timeline for this thing has really been pushed back and back and back. So get us up to speed.
Yeah, so the Sixers proposed building a downtown arena in Center City near Chinatown more than 2 years ago at this point. And if all goes well for them, they hope to build an 18,000 plus seat arena. That means they would leave the Wells Fargo Center after decades and have a home of their own, which they say is good for the business they're in, which is basketball, good for attracting new players and talent, but also good for the area economically, Market East specifically, an area that has struggled for a long time to be economically viable, and they feel like this can be a shot in the arm for that area. Stakeholders have been waiting, though, for these impact studies for some time to help them make a decision on whether this is a good idea, because there are plenty of folks who think it is not, particularly those in the Chinatown community and other neighborhoods nearby. And the reports were supposed to come out initially in December. Then we were told that they were supposed to come out in the new year. And here we are. They dropped somewhat unexpectedly, you know, as far as this reporter is concerned, last night, hours after Mayor Sherelle Parker met with Chinatown stakeholders. And just a couple of weeks, less than a couple of weeks before council returns to session, which is noteworthy because this project requires zoning legislation, enabling legislation that must pass that body for construction to start. So unclear why it took so long, but here we are.
Yeah. And so there are four reports. They're very voluminous. I think one of them was like 140 pages. And so, you know, we're going to ask you to help us walk through some of the findings of these various reports and go over some of the highlights. And let's just start with the economic impact. What were some of the findings and the highlights that you took away from that report?
Yeah, I mean, the report finds that you know, big picture, that the city can support two arenas, both the Wells Fargo Center and this arena that the Sixers are proposing. This is a point of contention. The Wells Fargo Center, who is still trying to have the Sixers wants, I should say, the Sixers to remain in South Philly, argues that that's not the case, particularly when you look at non-basketball programming like concerts, and that, it would be best really for both of these groups if everybody just stayed down in South Philly at the Stadium District. So that's number one. The other thing that I would point out is that the study finds that the Sixers Arena would generate, close to $2 billion in additional economic activity, and that would result in about $390 million in net new tax revenue for the city, the school district, and the state. That figure does not comport with with what the Sixers have discussed publicly for some time now, that the arena would generate about $1.5 billion in new revenue. I did talk to a spokesperson earlier today who said that, the report's method essentially does not allow for an apples to apples comparison. Well, I'll let the economists sort of met that out. But so there are some positives here. But also, as you said at the top, it's sort of a mixed
Right.
review in some ways.
And we will note that we also did reach out to the 76ers and invite them to be on this program. They declined. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with them directly in the future. And then there was a community impact report, Aaron. This looked at how the arena proposal would impact the Market East retail corridor and the neighboring Chinatown neighborhood and some other neighborhoods nearby. What were the big takeaways there?
The big takeaway here is that, the finding here is pretty well aligned with what opponents in Chinatown have been saying all along. Now, they have spoken in more certain terms, saying that the arena would create this existential threat to the neighborhood. The report is a little less certain, but does clearly say, that this arena could be problematic for Chinatown, that it could displace people by raising property values, that it could hurt small businesses in the area, and that Chinatown could lose its cultural identity as a result of this arena being built. And so that's got to be seen as a victory in some regards by folks who have been pushing against this arena, though if you talk to them, they are still not pleased with the results of these reports.
And real quick, Aaron, let's go over. There was two other studies, one about the design, one about the traffic implications. Just some quick takeaways from those two, which I imagine will get a little less play today, but are also quite detailed.
Right. And as far as the design, the headline there is that the consultants concluded that the arena was an appropriate use for Center City, that it's not
It's not a
a
fish out of
crazy idea
water, yeah.
to yeah, exactly, not a crazy idea to build an arena downtown. As far as the traffic, it's sort of aligned more or less with what the Sixers have been saying, but did caution, that the Sixers need to take some precautions to make sure that their numbers are held. That's a lot of gobbledygook a little bit, but basically the Sixers have said that
Basically, they could meet the targets that the Sixers laid out for
they could
traffic
meet
and
the
transit, but it's
targets.
going to be close, is kind of the way I read it.
It's attainable, but not a slam dunk, basically.
Good basketball
That's
metaphor there. Thank you, Aaron.
you're welcome.
And we also have with us Daniel Pearson, editorial writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer, as well as Vivian Chang, executive director of Asian Americans United. And I want to kind of bring you both into the conversation. And Vivian, I want to start with you to sort of give your reaction and top line takeaways from these reports.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I think the first thing that we always emphasize is that these studies were bankrolled by the Sixers. I know that that fact was hidden from the public at first, so I just want to get that out there. And that's, folks have asked, if you don't know what's in the studies, how do you know they're biased? Well, they're paid for by the developers, and that wasn't disclosed. So I think what we're seeing in these studies kind of falls in line with some of what we expected on that. They're not necessarily independent. But yeah, like you said, the community study was very clear. Displacement, gentrification, loss of community, like all of that, devastating impact to Chinatown.
When you say they were bankrolled, the Sixers will re reply, well, we were asked by the city to fund them. We put the money in an independent fund, then the PIDC, which is an independent sort of semi-public corporation, picked the people who did the studies, that we did not put our thumb on the scale there. What is the issue with that methodology?
Yeah, I think if that had been clear in the beginning, it would be a different conversation. But the fact that, you know, that wasn't disclosed and that folks were asking about it, right? We want independent, impartial. That's where, you know, it's hard to kind of have good faith in the process when from the very beginning, what the community was asking for and what was stated ended up being something different.
But when you see them, but when you see the reports now and you see who produced the reports and we can look at who the consultants are, do you have issues with them particularly? Do you think they were influenced?
Well, and something we've been sharing a lot is CSL. They did the economic impact study that we just heard about. And CSL actually is a company for hire that does a lot of these studies. So every time that a sports team wants to build a new arena, mm-hmm. they hire a group like that. It tells them what they want to hear. So CSL also did the study on Philly's Convention Center. And that underpredicted, or I guess overstated the impacts, mm-hmm. underpredicted what would happen. So, you know, it said that hotel stays would go up. It said that businesses in Chinatown would benefit. But what we've seen is that, you know, it was by a high margin, not a success. 11th Street is pretty dead in Chinatown because of the convention center.
Real quick, though, so I think the Sixers would also say, looking at the community impact report, that the consultant there was someone who'd even worked for the Philadelphia Chinatown Development Corporation for years, long history in Chinatown, might have a bias against them. I mean, that seemed like a pretty, was that a fair pick? To pick someone who's worked for the PCDC all those years?
That's a good question. I think we're really concerned about the economic impact study just because we know that's what the team would use to justify this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone's looking for the top line numbers. They're just like, how much money? And,
got it.
You know.
Yeah. And you feel like that was from a consultant that routinely gets brought in to inflate figures in your terms.
Yes.
We have about a couple minutes now before break. Yeah. I want to make sure Daniel Pearson gets a chance to hop in. And then, of course, we'll have both of you for the hour.
Yeah, I think that when you look at any study, it's kind of like looking at a weather report. Mm-hmm. You can't say, you know what, the weatherman said there's going to be 6 inches of snow. There's going to be exactly 6 inches of snow tomorrow. But you can say, the weatherman said it's going to be cold. I should wear a jacket. I should bring an umbrella because he said it's going to rain. These reports, I think, should be looked at similarly. They can tell you the direction of how things are going to go, but any specific numbers are always going to be up to contention, and it never is going to match exactly.
But Dan, you've been supportive of the arena. Tell me why, and do these, what you've seen so far in these reports, does it support that?
Yeah, so I've kind of wanted an arena in Center City for ages, long before the Sixers proposed their idea, because if you look at the design report, you see that Center City or downtown arenas are fairly common. Unlike football stadiums or baseball stadiums, they take about 20 to 25% of the square footage. It makes it easier to fit them in. And they serve many, many fewer guests. So there's significantly less traffic. And if you look at cities like Baltimore or Pittsburgh, Baltimore actually has their baseball stadium downtown. You know, I look at the transportation study and it aligns very much with what I wrote a couple years ago, that if you look at Philadelphia's network, a lot of people will start taking SEPTA. If you look at the details, they show you other cities that have a lot less transit than Philadelphia, but a lot more people are using transit to get to games. Portland doesn't have 3 subway lines and, you know, 13 regional rail lines, but they have 37% share.
All right, that's Dan Pearson. We also heard from Vivian Chang and Aaron Mozell, and we're going to have a lot more on the other side of this break, much more to break down in these reports. You're listening to Studio 2. If you have a question or comment on the Sixers arena proposal, send us an email, studio2@whyy.org. And welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Today, we're talking about the proposed Sixers arena. The long-awaited impact studies are out. And so our question today is, should there be an arena in Center City? You can call us. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. And with us in studio, we have Vivian Chang, Executive Director of Asian Americans United. We also have Daniel Pearson, editorial writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. And on the line, we have WHYY's Planned Philly reporter, who's been covering this, Aaron Mozell.
Let me read this email from Joseph in Pensacon, who says, developers promise the moon and stars all the time and never deliver except to themselves. Daniel Pearson, before we went to the break, I wanted to ask you, though, about this community impact. I mean, you read some quotes out of this community impact report, and it sounds quite dire. Let me read you an example. Although the project will not lead to direct housing displacement, there is evidence for increased indirect displacement of small businesses and low and fixed income individuals through gentrification and loss of cultural identity in Chinatown if 76 Place were built. I mean, I know that you support the idea of a downtown arena, but this really draws into question whether or not this is the place to put a downtown arena if it could disrupt a historic community. Your response?
Yeah, I think that, and I've said consistently, that the only real reason not to do this is the potential impact on Chinatown. You know, there's not really a case transportation-wise, economic-wise, to say, let's not let somebody invest $1.5 billion in our city. But there is a case to say, this is an important neighborhood that's special to us, that matters to us, and we need to make sure that any impact is going to be mitigated, especially considering the history of projects in Chinatown. What I would say, though, is that the fact that this arena hasn't been approved yet shows how much city officials care about Chinatown and love Chinatown. I know that probably doesn't feel, you're probably not feeling the love in Chinatown right now. But if you look at what happened in D.C., there was not a lot of trepidation about building what's now known as the Capital One Arena in Chinatown in D.C., directly in yep. Chinatown, demolishing existing businesses, using eminent domain to take people's property. If you look at the coverage, there was not a lot of people saying, hey, what about D.C. Chinatown? People instead were saying, let's go.
Yeah,
let's
build, baby, build. Yeah. But now that you have seen this, and we're all still pouring through it, but you've yeah. seen the community impact study, and given the fact that you already had a pre-existing concern about this, does this make you think, hey, maybe this is not the right project? Let's stop for a second and think, is there another place to do this?
I think that what the report makes clear is that any substantial investment on Market Street, whether it's a gigantic hotel, whether it's an office building, both of which are by right uses right now that don't require any zoning relief, if it's going to be bringing thousands of people to Market Street, it's going to be impacting Chinatown negatively in
some way.
Whether
it's an arena or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to bring in Regina Harrison, who is president and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Their organization has been supportive of the arena. Regina, I want to give you a chance. First of all, welcome to Studio 2.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Sherry.
Yes. And so I want to give you a chance to react to that report. The reports that came out, they show that there would be some stress and some displacement to the Chinatown community, but there would be significant economic impact. Your thoughts on that report?
Certainly, Sherry. First of all, I have not read the report. As you know, the report came out yesterday. I've had an opportunity to glance the report, but it's four separate reports. So I would need to, along with the AACC, take the time to actually read the reports. But what I can tell you is that we've always said we're in support of this project, and we do hope that this report will lead to the community having a guide as to what needs to happen in order for this to be a project that the entire city can rally around. So that's first and foremost. That is my reaction to the report. For someone who has been working closely with the 76ers to ensure that Black businesses have an unprecedented opportunity with this development, I can tell you I've traveled the country talking to other arenas, and while folks are interested in having inclusivity of Black businesses in their arenas, I have seen nothing like the commitment that the Sixers have made, because it's around equity and ownership. We have been working on a project. We have researched. We have done surveys. We have done focus groups with our members. We've talked to over 100 members. And what I can tell you is they're excited about this project. And they want this project to happen.
And what exactly have the Sixers, and just as a reminder, what have the Sixers promised Black-owned businesses in the city?
They've promised participation, ownership for the concessionaires in other opportunities at the arena. So making sure that 40% of concessionaires is ran by Black business, but it doesn't stop at concessionaires. It is about participation from nuts to bolts, whatever it takes to put on an experience at a 76th place. A Black firm is involved, at least 40%. Of participation.
Let me ask you real quick and get you out of here on this. This is a comment from one of our listeners, Stan, who says, let the 76ers go to Camden. The 76ers lied through their teeth when they promised all kinds of jobs and economic benefits to Camden when they convinced the state and local government to subsidize building their practice facility in Camden. We should not fall for another con job. Regina Hairston, let me ask you, why should we trust the promises that the 76ers are making?
So, again, I can only tell you from my experience, they have lived up to every promise that they have made. We've been working in partnership. We do have a report that's coming out in September that outlines all the things that we've done with the Sixers. The commitment that they've made, they've not only made the commitment to us, but they've actually put the resources in place and given us the agency to close the gap to make sure that if there is a 76th place, we will have 40% participation. So my mind is eased that the promises that they have made or the commitment that they have made that we have stood behind will happen. And the reason why I know that is because it's happening now. We have Black businesses that are currently working on the 76th place project. So it's not us guessing what's going to happen in the future. This is happening now.
Yeah.
Well, that was Regina Hairston, a president and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And we thank you so much for your time on this Tuesday.
Thank you.
And Dan emails, many supporters of the arena consider it a replacement for the failing mall at Market East, but I see it as more of the same short-sighted development style that gave us the problem in the first place. And Vivian, I want to bring you back in the conversation because Avi teed up this whole trust issue. Clearly, Regina Hairston with the African American Chamber trusts the Sixers. You've said earlier that you do not. Explain where this distrust comes from. You know, just in viewing and experiencing this process.
Yeah, and I think actually our listener Stan touched upon it. You know, when the Sixers opened up their practice facility in Camden, just add some numbers to what he said, they promised 275 jobs to Camden residents. And today there are 11. So, you know, that's not even 5%. Total.
But
so
I mean, specifically with regard to the Chinatown community here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Distrust. You're saying that track record, though.
For the track record,
you don't trust it.
Yeah. And then for Chinatown, I mean, it was announced without any notice to Chinatown. I think, funny enough, the campaign was, we're going to be a good neighbor. But, you know, if your neighbor puts up a giant thing next to your house, you'd love some notice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We held community meetings, you know, when it was first announced, and folks from the Sixers left halfway through. You know, it was like one of the only opportunities for folks, especially people who don't speak English that well, right? Like immigrants, elders, like they were really excited for this chance to engage and they were met with disrespect.
Let me ask you, though, Vivian, something that Dan brought up, which is that even if there is no arena here, the surrounding area and Chinatown in general is already on a path to displacement and that someone could build a hotel there tomorrow with no city council intervention. And it might have the exact same effect. And I'm going to read this now from the Community Impact Report, saying there's been a trend of new immigrant property owners in Chinatown who significantly raise rent for existing tenants. They mentioned that there was a huge period of no new affordable housing built in the neighborhood. Isn't it possible that focusing all this effort on no arena maybe misses the picture here that really what we need to deal with is the dynamics happening in Chinatown right now?
It's a great question. And I think, like, I love this because a lot of folks think we're just no. But we are yes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We had a design workshop earlier this year, and folks shared they'd love to see a rec center in Chinatown, you know, real development, a small business incubator, like really supporting different communities of color. And unfortunately, that's not what's on the table. Like, I wish I had $1 billion.
But let me ask you this. Why not use this leverage to negotiate? Instead of saying no, saying, look, we're going to go to the city and we're going to say, we'll give you our blessing for this project, but you better build 500, 1,000, name your number, 1,500 units of affordable housing. I mean, one of the great ironies here is that the Sixers proposal includes some what they call affordable housing when no one else is even building affordable housing in the neighborhood. Why not use this as leverage instead of pure opposition? That's kind of my big question.
I see. Yeah. We just know there's no way to mitigate. Like, you can't mitigate destruction of a community. So even if, I mean, and one, I don't think that promise would hold through, right? The convention center had lots of promises for Chinatown, and now that street is dead. Like, there's no storefronts there that actually serve Chinatown businesses, Asian-owned, and just it's really a blight on the community. But also knowing, like, look, if they're going to build, let's say, some units of affordable housing, but we lose, like, thousands of residents, it just doesn't equal out.
Yeah, I want to bring in now. Thank you for that, Vivian. I want to bring in Councilmember Mark Squilla, who's on the line. Councilmember Squilla represents the Market East section of the city where the Sixers Arena is proposed to be built. Councilmember Squilla, welcome to Studio 2.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I want to get your reaction to the reports and specifically what factors, if you don't have a comment on the report, just the factors that you're paying attention to now that we have these impact reports out.
Yes. First of all, I'm really excited that the studies are out. And I do want to thank the organizations and the people who did the studies, because it seems like they did put a lot of time and effort into those studies. But, you know, having a very short time to review them, obviously, just a high-focused evaluation of them. There are some of the challenges that we've heard from the community stakeholders and you know, some of the positive implementations of having an arena there. So I think most people, once they see these studies, they're going to be able to point to things. If you're already dynamically opposed to the studies, you're going to find things in this. I mean, the arena. You're going to find things in this studies to. You know, say this is why we shouldn't do it. And then the people who are very supportive of the arena are going to find things in these studies and say, look, we should do that because these studies say this. I think it's up to us. We do see that there's still challenges to any type of development that goes and impacts a surrounding community, mainly Chinatown, Washington Square West, the Market East sector there. Those challenges, we have to look at them through the studies, look at the challenges of the cultural hub of Chinatown. How do we make sure we try to keep that a vibrant place in the city of Philadelphia? Yes, it is struggling right now, but, you know, is this project a opportunity or is it a killer, right? I think we need to look at those things through the studies. And can we as a city now, at this point, put in protections in place through legislation or through a community benefits agreement that could offset some of the negative impacts?
What types of protections? Can you give us some specifics of what you're thinking about, what you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking that, you know, obviously you hear a lot of challenges with small businesses, right? Especially some of the challenges we heard during construction, and it's a multi-year construction process, may have to close streets and stuff like that. Can there be a business interruption plan through commerce or through a CBA where some of these businesses, where they report their income, if they have a drop in 10% of their income, can that be mitigated through a CBA where they would then get those resources back, so therefore the business will be made whole, right? Challenges as far as zoning or height limits, like we see that Chinatown is going through a process of increased values on their properties. Can we do things to try to mitigate those challenges so that people don't come in and say, all right, I could buy these four buildings, I could build a high rise right in the middle of Chinatown and do it by right without having any input from the community or from council? Should we look at those protections as part of this plan to make sure we do that? And again, even if this arena is not moving forward, we need to start looking at that now. This might just expedite the process so that we could put those in place a little sooner.
Yeah, and what are some of the next steps? I mean, because it seems like there's quite a bit before you can get the type of information where you can make an actual decision. So what are the next steps that come before that actual decision point?
Right. Well, I believe, and I said this all along, legislation has been being drafted for some time right now to see what is necessary in order to put an arena at that location. I had promised to share that legislation with the community stakeholders for 30 days before possible introduction. So I'm hoping to be able to get that legislation out as soon as possible so that people could review it and look at it and see if it does enough and puts enough protections in place to make sure it handles those concerns. And if not, if the legislation is going to be moved forward and be introduced, then we would have to amend the legislation to make sure we add those protections in place. Or, you know, the other goal is, and I heard, earlier that, you know, certain things are promised as part of a development. I would like to codify the CBA, any community benefits agreement that is made from the development team to the community stakeholders, that would also be attached to the legislation, therefore become part of the law. Mm-hmm. And so it could be enforced by the city so that they can't say one thing and do mm-hmm. something else. And so if we could do that and make sure that we're able to put those mitigating changes in place as part of the legislation moving forward, then as the legislation is introduced, that doesn't be an end to it at that point. You have public hearings. You have public hearings in city council. You could still amend the legislation even after it's introduced with whatever changes mm-hmm. we made. You could amend them in a public hearing process.
And when do you think this will happen? When would you like it to happen? Because this has been beset yes. by delays already.
Well, it's been 2 years since the initial introduction when we heard about it, when the 76ers had put a proposal out there. I guess it was maybe last two years in July, maybe, mm-hmm. or August, maybe around now, that we heard about it. So I would say the decision whether to introduce legislation will be made in the fall here.
In the fall.
Yes.
And that's going to be mm-hmm. essentially your decision. Can you say which way
well,
you're leaning?
Well, I'm going to say my decision. We work here. We have a very strong mayoral form of government in the city of Philadelphia. I'll work cordially and coordination-wise with the mayor's office. If the mayor's office is dead set against this proposal, obviously we're not going to move forward. But if they are interested in moving the legislation forward, we'll do that together, and we will introduce the legislation. I would introduce the legislation on behalf of the administration.
And then let the entire council mm-hmm. vote on it? Would that be the idea?
Yes. Yeah, and I requested also, beside the 30 days of review, I requested that, you know, we have committee the whole hearing instead of having some of the documents, because, you know, I'm sure this legislation is going to be a pretty big piece yeah. of a pretty big document, and I'm sure there'll be some streets encroachment issues, there'll be some zoning issues, there'll be some rules, and it would be several different committees. I requested to be a committee the whole so every council member could be part of that hearing process and be a part of the decision-making process.
And council member, just based on your experience, I mean, you know, in your district dealing with big projects like this, what do you think the overall timeline is going to be? Is this a month's thing or this is like a year thing to get to a decision?
It?
Yeah.
To get to the decision.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, and it'll be probably a little longer than any other legislation. It's a several month process. You know, so I would say by the time if it's introduced, I mean, I would say 2 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And before we get you out of here, are you worried that if there are further delays, the Sixers will look elsewhere? And of course, everyone's thinking about Camden. South mm-hmm. Jersey, Delaware, even threw its hat into the ring. Are you worried that if there are further delays, this project could die before it even gets to a vote?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's a concern. I mean, anytime there's offers from other municipalities to sway away a development project, not only a development project, but also an economic impact project that adds to our city's revenue and tax dollars, it is a concern. I mean, I'm hearing from, you know, you hear the governor from New Jersey say that, you know, we'll welcome you here and we'll work with you to add additional resources or whatever. Now you hear the governor of Delaware saying the same thing. I still think Philadelphia is the place where the 76ers want to be. I do believe they're going to build an arena somewhere. I do not, you know, I know that, you know, people thought that they were going to go back and merge with Comcast Spectacor and go to the Wells Fargo Center. I don't believe that they would have spent all this time, effort, and energy if they were going to go back there. I do believe they're going to build an arena somewhere. And I think that, you know, that will probably play a role also in a decision-making process of,
Are you committed to keeping the Sixers in Philadelphia?
Oh, I think I would love to keep them in the city of Philadelphia. Absolutely. Absolutely would love to have the Sixers in Philadelphia. They're a big part of the city of Philadelphia. And me personally does not want to see them move to any other municipality.
Well, there you have it. That was Mark Squilla, council member representing District 1. And that is the district where the proposed arena would be located. And he plays a central role in all of this moving forward. So thank you so much, council member Squilla, for your time.
Thank you, Avi. Thank you all for having us.
Absolutely. And you're listening to Studio 2. We're still taking your questions and comments. We have a backlog here. We're going to get to them.
Yes.
Studio 2 at WHYY.org, 888-477-9499. If you want to comment on these new studies about the proposed Sixers Arena in Center City. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, talking this hour about those new impact reports on the proposed 76ers arena. Let me reintroduce our guests. With us in studio, we have Vivian Chang, Executive Director of Asian Americans United. We also have Daniel Pearson, Editorial Writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. And on the line, Aaron Moselle, Reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. And I did want to mention, because we did say earlier that the Sixers declined to join us to talk about these reports today, we also extended an invitation to Comcast Spectacor, which owns the Wells Fargo Center and has opposed this new arena project. They also declined to appear.
Yeah, I want to read a couple of comments. Lindsay from Northeast Philadelphia emails, "It's unthinkable that we would even consider sacrificing Chinatown for an arena that will threaten access to a hospital and bring literally zero benefits to the city that couldn't be achieved with something like Comcast plan to rejuvenate the sports complex." On the other side, we have Dale from Society Hill, who emails, "I am wholeheartedly for the arena in Center City. East Center City has always been seriously lacking in comparison to West Center City." So I want to bring Aaron Moselle back into the conversation. Aaron, Councilmember Squilla sort of touched on, and Avi talked about this a little bit, some of the other options that are being now thrown before the Sixers. Can you lay out what other options do they have besides this Market East proposed arena?
Well, the Sixers, if you talk to them, they'll say there are no other options. You know, at one point, David Adelman, who is sort of the face of this project, told me there is no plan B. That hasn't stopped, as Councilman Squilla said, that hasn't stopped other folks from raising their hand and saying that they would be thrilled to have the Sixers build an arena in their state, in New Jersey, where the Sixers already have a state-of-the-art practice facility in Camden, just over the bridge. And Delaware has also, the Delaware, Governor of Delaware has also said that they'd be happy to have the Sixers. Not sure how well that would go over with fans, but, you know, it is out there. But the Sixers for some time have been trying to build a new arena. This is not the first time that they've tried to leave the Wells Fargo Center. If folks recall, they did have plans to move to Penn's Landing, and that sort of crumbled at the last minute by a bid from another developer. And so they are pretty dead set on opening in Philadelphia. That's where they want to be.
And Margaret from Marion did ask us, have other sites been proposed and researched as alternatives to the Chinatown location? And as Aaron Moselle just mentioned, yes, initially they actually made a bid for a plot on Penn's Landing by the Delaware River, and that was not a successful bid. Daniel Pearson, want to bring you back in the conversation now, because Jeff asked us, where do the bulk of the attendees of Sixers games or the concerts come from? Is it from outside the city limits, inside the city limits? We don't have to talk about the specifics of that, but when you looked at the traffic study here, that was one of the four studies that was commissioned, it did support the Sixers' idea that they could get to a place of sustainability with traffic. But basically they said, it's going to be close. Like, if we don't hit these targets dead on, we could have gridlock in this neighborhood. Your reaction to that, because I got to think that's making some people feel a little uncomfortable today.
Yeah, so the transportation study looked at traffic, and it also looked at parking. It found that on parking, there is plenty of parking in the area for the needs of the arena without adding more. On transportation, it found that the Sixers' proposed mode split is fairly realistic. You do have a pretty
And to be clear, I think that the Sixers say about 40% of people would take transit to the game, right?
Yes, and that's lower than the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden
in New York,
in New York City. But it's higher than, you know, an arena in Portland or a city like that with less transportation. So it does seem like it's kind of, if you look at what we have in terms of resources, what other cities have, we should be able to do better than the 15% that use transit to get to the sports complex. We should be in the 30 to 40% range. You know, and when you talk about site selection, it is really hard to find another site in Philadelphia that's big enough, has the transit connections that this site has, and also has willing sellers. I mean, I think that's really the tough
thing. That's why the Sixers seem so focused on it.
Yes, because you don't need any eminent domain to build here. You have two willing sellers of property. The mall would like to shrink a little bit.
And the bus station.
The Greyhound sold their bus stations already. So it's owned by a holding company that would like to sell it. So if you try to find a different spot for this in Center City, you either end up with spots that involve demolishing existing homes and businesses or would require a public subsidy. So, you know, some people propose, let's build it on the Amtrak tracks at 30th Street Station. I would have loved the Phillies to go there, but a Sixers arena there would require public subsidy because you're imposing the cost of building over the tracks and building a huge structure over the tracks that can support an arena on the team. They're going to say, hey, look, sure. Are you going to pay for that? The same thing with the waterfront. They were asking for subsidies in that plan. Not $1 billion, but I think it was around $300 million where the city would cover part of the cost. Same thing. So this is one of the few spots in the country where you can actually build an arena and be profitable without public subsidy. And I don't know. I know for sure that Camden, it would involve the state of New Jersey handing over not a pilot program or anything like that, but just straight cash money to the team.
And so, Vivian, when you hear this, I mean, what are the next steps for Chinatown? I mean, it seems like it's forging ahead. There's this economic benefit. The impact report says it fits perfectly there, although there could be some traffic issues, but the major impact is on Chinatown. What are the next steps for you guys?
Yeah, just a couple things I'd love to clear up, too, from the conversation. I know we talked about community benefits a lot with Councilman Squillen before the break. I just want to be clear, if the arena is built, there is no community left to benefit from that. I don't know if I'd kind of made that clear earlier. Just I wanted to kind of state that. I know folks have asked, but
you think it's truly existential?
Yeah, it's really existential. You know, and we talked about baseball stadium. They tried to put a baseball stadium in Chinatown, too. Now we have a school there, an Asian Arts Initiative, but it's kind of, you know, history echoing. Mm-hmm. I think the other piece, too, is that, you know, it's not just Chinatown. It is Washington Square West. There are neighbors there who've really come out against the arena. Even folks in Point Breeze have reached out to me and said, we're worried about what it looks like when folks from South Philly drive up to the arena and, like, that air pollution impacting our kids, right? Kids already have asthma from, like, living near, you know, the former refinery site and stuff. So I think I just want to, you know, kind of expand to say, like, yes, Chinatown directly. We know this is a huge existential threat to us, but there's also threats to other communities.
Yeah.
Let me read this email from George, who says the Wells Fargo Center is less than 30 years old and the Sixers already want to build a new arena. Just as an aside, the Sixers did not build the Wells Fargo Center. They're renters there. But just to clear that up, George says the Sixers are not concerned with the long term impact on Center City and are likely to abandon their project as soon as it becomes unprofitable or more profitable to build it all again in another low income neighborhood. And Dan Pearson, let me direct that to you, because I think a lot of people have pushed back on the idea of arena because, A, they think it's only going to be a project that will last maybe a generation, but also it's the type of facility that's only open certain days and certain hours of the day. And so, like, if you're really trying to revitalize Market East, like, is this really the way to go?
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of people have said to me, you know, what about 2061, right? You know, when the arena would be 30 years old. I think that when you have a team that controls its own arena, it's unlikely to leave unless it's going to be selling for like huge, huge dollars. You know, if Amazon in 2060 wants to move to Pennsylvania and open up a Market East, that would be a situation where it would make sense for the team to consider selling and moving. But I think that that location, if you look at the population of this area where people with high incomes live and spend time, it's kind of right in the heart of all of that. And I don't think that there's a better spot for them. I think they would lose out if they said 30, 40 years from now, let's go to King of Prussia, let's go to Camden. I mean, there's a reason that they want to be in Center City, because that's where their arena is going to be the most profitable. It's going to attract the most shows. It's going to attract the most events, because it's right in the heart of, you know, the busiest.
What about
those
vacant hours, though?
Because yeah,
that's a real issue, I think, mm-hmm. when you're talking about something that's going to be on street level. And we did have a couple comments, including one from Mary, just thinking, well, a half empty mall, at least it's open most of the day, even if it's a half empty mall. This you know, arena by design is kind of closed most of the time.
Yeah, and I understand that, but it's also part of a mixed use environment. You know, most cities do have these downtown arenas, and if you look at Sacramento, for example, which is one of the newest ones, they've seen revitalization around it going in. If you look at the Barclays Center as well, they've also seen more economic activity. And the key to that is the mixed use nature of the mm-hmm. of the area. If you remember Philadelphia in the early 90s, we didn't really have that many residential homes and apartments in Center City. We've added tens of thousands of people to Center City. If you look at the surrounding neighborhoods, it's easily over 100,000 at this point. And having all of this infrastructure, the highways, the transit lines, it means that you have a high capacity, and the arena is something that is going to be at its highest capacity when Center City is lower. You know, it's not going to be...
You're saying complementary because yeah. of sort of these daytime shifts and when people are what places, that type of thing.
Yeah, if you go to Market East at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday, it's pretty empty there.
Yeah.
If you go at 2 p.m., it's pretty busy. Mm-hmm. So to me, if I'm looking to add traffic, foot traffic to Market East, a use that's in the evenings and on the weekends when all these office buildings and federal buildings and all the employees that go to them aren't there is exactly what you're looking for. And it's something that you want these mixed-use districts to have uses that are active at different times. You have places of worship, for example, that, sure, they have meetings and community events, but they're really only using their full footprint once or twice a week.
Yeah, and I want to ask Aaron this question, because we got this email from Katie from Washington Square West in Philly, who emailed that the Sixers promised thousands of jobs via their website, but the study shows more like 700. That's less than a tenth of what they claim. Sixers also promised 250 jobs for Camden residents at their Camden practice, but they only produced 11. As we get ready to wrap up, because we only have a couple minutes, are there major differences in what the Sixers promised versus what the impact study say?
In terms of jobs?
In terms of various issues that they promise certain things that are not necessarily backed up by the impact studies.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some discrepancies, as we've discussed, particularly around the economics and how much of a punch an arena could pack. Particularly in the Market East region, there's also ongoing debate about whether still if the city could support two arenas economically. And so I would say that these reports kind of could be used by the Sixers to help support, but they can also be used by opponents to say, you know, this doesn't quite line up with your vision.
Let me read in some more comments before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Susan says, I drove to the Link last Saturday for a preseason game. Took me 35 minutes to drive from the burbs, an hour and a half to get through the parking lot. There's no way Chinatown will survive if this arena is built. I guess the Sixers' rebuttal is people will not drive to the game. We shall see. That's Susan's comment. Dylan had a comment about what I believe something Mark Squilla said about height restrictions in Chinatown. Mm. Dylan is incredulous, says there are larger buildings within a block of where this country was founded. What are we talking about? So even sometimes the mitigating solutions might cause their own backlash, and that's how complex this entire thing is. And one more comment, slightly humorous one, I'll end on this. This is Denise, who says, personally, I'd rather the Sixers take the money that they want to spend on this arena and use it to put a better team on the floor than Tyrese Maxey and a bunch of head cases that can't get past the second round of the NBA playoffs. Sadly, Denise, that's not how the NBA salary cap works. They can't actually use the money that way. But yes, we share your frustration that about the Sixers on the floor. I'm going to wrap up this conversation now and just thank both of you who are here with us in the studio for sharing your perspectives. You heard this hour from Vivian Chang, Executive Director of Asian Americans United. Vivian, thanks so much
for
the time.
Thank you for having me.
Daniel Pearson was also with us, editorial writer at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thanks for the time. And Aaron Mozell, reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly, providing all types of perspective. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us yet again on Studio 2.
My pleasure.
And thank you to all of you who commented today, who sent us emails and questions. We appreciate you, and we were happy to hear from you. And that is it for today's edition of Studio 2. The show is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Murray-Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered today's show. Kevin McCrory is our executive producer. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I am Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk with you tomorrow.